Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, it's the right time to thank Dwight and also Helmut with their home run program. And, it's my understanding that you get one or two things at least, to take home from home run. So, dear listeners, it's, 5 minutes past the hour of six. You are listening to Business and Economic Segment. And, we are here from the hour of six until, seven in the early evening. So, yeah, spade days to some are still waiting. And, it's a Monday. Wherever you are finding yourself, some of you, you are going back home. Some of you are drinking coffee. Some of you are, you know, are having some good times and also connecting with friends, especially this, Monday. And, yeah, we are greeting you wherever you are. We are greeting you wherever you are from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is, Eagle FM. And the fact that you tune in, we respect that and, we are greeting you. And it's always very important also to educate one another. It's always very important to share information. And it's also crucial to update one another on what is happening on the continental ground. What is happening on international ground? Where is the country standing? Where is the country going? Where are the other big boys of economics standing? And how can we navigate forward? So, before we move into what we have on the table for today, as I'm always indicating, this is a program that is covering, is cutting across all sectors of bread and butter. Whether it's global economy, global governance, international trade, the behaviors and functions of international financial institutions, continental developmental institutions such as African Development Bank or Regional Development Bank, import and export banks, either is political communication, either is policy planning and implementation, and everything, because the aim we are saying when we are having this conversation is to make sure that we change the way we are. We change the way we are, we bring about those thought-provoking questions, and we also engage our policymakers, our academicians, and thinkers to say, what can you contribute to this conversation, and what is that matters that which was not done 35 years ago, which need to be done now, currently, and with immediate effect. And like we're always saying, we are not one-directed conversation. We always give you an opportunity to air your view, air your opinions, especially on current debated conversation, on current, you know, conversation which are on the table. That is why it's your democratic rights to express your freedom of expression and give your views. And yeah, before we go to what you have on the table, like we're always saying, make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platforms. You can check on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Like and share our page, because when you do that, it's easier for you to not miss out when we are updating you on trade, mining sector, energy sector, food security, and everything that affect development. We are saying development should not only be measured in terms of expansion of the economy, but development should not only be measured in terms of how beautiful advanced infrastructure building and road constructions are, but development should be measured when all the sectors which involve human development is involved, the ability of a human being to achieve the basic needs such as quality health, quality education, shelter, food, and also happiness, because happiness is part of you know, the package, is part of the package, because happiness in terms of development is defined based on satisfaction on life, satisfaction on needs, and also ability to be optimistic and happy about the future. So that is exactly what we are looking at. And apart from liking and sharing our page, okay, we also have the Villager newspaper. That is your economic e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, we are always encouraging researchers, academicians, and also those who love reading to make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, particularly when it comes to developmental agenda, particularly when it's coming to governance agenda, food security, energy, politics, policy making and implementation. That is why we are always advising to say it's not correct for you to be a researcher and you do not have, the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information. And for you to subscribe to the Villager newspaper, go to the Villager newspaper page in our social media platform. Like and share that page. And you can also subscribe if you want every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday morning to be sent the soft copy of the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you send your name to this number and save it as your WhatsApp contact detail. 081-200-4144. The other thing is also that you can be able to download the Eagle FM app. Those of you who find yourself in a places or in situation or geographical area where the frequency is not reaching you, you do not need to worry. You do not need to scratch your head, because in the world of advancement in terms of technology, we always have an alternative way of you getting connected to us by making sure that you download Eagle FM app. Go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, type in Eagle FM Namibia, and you can be able to download that app. Because the beauty of the app is that when you download that app and you put it in your phone, automatically you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air when you just open it like that. And you can also trace back previous programs that you have missed. It could be that when a certain program was being played, you are not around. You can still go back to the podcast and listen to the previous programs, which they are recorded, dates is there, host, and also name of the guest, and you will not miss out. You can listen at your own time and also at your own pace. The other thing is also Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. It's a digital version of a hymn book, actually. It's a digital version of a hymn book that is in Oshuambo, that is a Hangano. It's also in Ocherero, that is from Imburiro. It's also in Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So in a situation that you are at a congregation, you are at a graduation party, you are at a birthday party, or you are at a send-off party, or unfortunate life events which are inevitable, such as a funeral, and you need to give somebody respect through using a hymn book, do not scratch your head if you do not have a hard copy in book. Just download Imba app and you are sorted, and you made your life so easier. So we are indicating to you that the world has changed so much to that extent that people are no more working with the hammer. It's no more about working with the hammer. It's no more about working with gear 3. But make sure that you are at gear 5, and make sure also that you are working smart, and technology is here to assist us, not to take our jobs, not to threaten us, but to make our life more easier. So use those technology, use Imba app and Eagle FM app, and you make your life easier. The other thing we are telling business people, either you are a small business operator, you are a medium business operator, you are a conglomerate, a multinational corporation, to say, make sure that, you connect or you advertise with us. You advertise with us by making sure that, you talk to our marketing manager. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400, 083-288-400, because we are indicating to you that money invested in advertisement is money on the way to come back to the owner. It's money on the way back to the owner with interest. That's why when you advertise with us, you buy airtime on air, or you advertise with the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to reach your potential customer thousands of miles away from you, either in SADC region, either is in African continent or around the world, because we are covering wherever you are, and our app is used wherever you are in the world. So let's go.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Let us move forward with business and economic segment. So we indicated that you can market with us, you can advertise with us by communicating with Meme Monica Ipinge, 083-288-400. Yes, a lot is happening, a lot is happening. However, we cannot focus on a lot. We can focus on what do we pick that of which we can learn from. We understand that our main tourist attraction, Etosha National Park, have been under fire for quite some times, been under fire for more than 4 days. And we see the deployment of soldiers, deployment of helicopters, and the response of disaster risk management. And there is still an assessment to say how much is the damage, how much is the damage, and also how can, you know, incidents of this nature should be prevented. Incidents of this nature should be, you know, prevented. And what is the impact on our shares, which are there, which is our animals, such as rhinos, elephants, hyenas, and all other animals in Etosha. Those are our shares because Namibia is our own house. And when Etosha is burning, it's like our farm, which is burning. And we must be concerned. We must be concerned. And it's now a right time, especially to those students who are studying risk management, are studying risk management and also environmental science, to make sure that, you know, look at that area of research and also see how incidents of this nature should be, you know, should be prevented and how incidents of this nature should also be, you know, avoided in the future, because incidents response or disaster risk management unit, the response to natural disaster must be effective, must be timely, and also must be well coordinated, because we have been surprised quite by a lot of natural disaster, and our response, although become effective at a later stage, we have been able to see that we are a bit like slow when it's coming to takeoff. Look at what happened when COVID-19 came. We got organized later, but we're a bit slow when it comes to takeoff. Look at drought. We are a bit not well organized, but the response, we must invest in you know, risk management and also disaster risk management response. And I hope those men and women who are at the front line of fighting the fire, to make sure that at least they succeed, because that is part of treasury, part of our main natural resources, and the tourism sector is also impacted, especially to what's happening in Etosha. And just also for individual to make sure that at least we must take care and we must be very cautious with fire wherever we are, especially this time of the season, because otherwise, you know, we end up losing much than we could, we can imagine. So that is one of local updates. However, today we are looking at, what other countries in SADC are doing, and also what Namibia can learn. And our conversation today is motivated by the decision of Botswana government to make sure that when it comes to trade with the United States, they are looking the other way. They are looking the other way, or they are exploring other options. They are exploring other options, because when it comes to trade, the tariffs which United States of America imposed to African countries, and also to international, you know, also to state in the international arena, they are shaking the whole world. They are shaking the whole world. And when you look at what's happening now, other countries are looking for other alternatives to make sure that they save their economy, because you must be able to understand that when you look at the economy of Botswana, when you look at the population of Botswana, when you look at the geographical location of Botswana, when you look at the way Botswana politics is, you'll be able to understand that there is a lot of commonalities that Namibia and Botswana is sharing. There's a lot of commonalities that Namibia and Botswana is sharing. And also, the question that we need to put on the table today is, what is that which Namibia can learn from Botswana? And we are going to ask difficult questions also to say, is it the right move to move to the east? Is it the right move to move to the east? And what is Namibia trade policy saying? Is it is a policy which look at isolation, or is a policy which is trying to balance, you know, both state to make sure that at least we get the benefit out of east? Because we also need to compare to say, if Botswana is moving to the east, if Botswana is looking for other alternatives such as China, Russia, and other alternatives to sell their products, due to the fact that the imposed tariffs, which is at 10 to 15%, is still harming their economy, is still impacting their employment rate. What is that lesson that our beautiful country need to learn from this decision? Do we need to follow what they are doing? Do we need to keep calm? Do we need to work with everybody? What is at stake that we'll be able to lose? Because remember, we may be in the same geographical locations. We might be at the same level of development. We might have almost the same population, but our priorities and interests, foreign policy and trade policy, might differ due to the fact that at the end of the day, we are not the same. And like I'm always mentioning, countries on international ground, they look at what is that which is their immediate needs, what is that which is their interest, and that of who is against their interest. How do we navigate through that? Because remember, there is a situation on the table, especially which is looking at trade war. Or something may not want to call it trade war, we call it tariff imposition, especially when United States is putting tariffs, especially countries which are aligning with BRICS countries, which are aligning with China, Russia, Iran, and also one of the major proposals in the United States Congress is to exclude South Africa from possibility of expansion of AGOA. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, AGOA is Africa and Growth Opportunity Act, which was which is a policy which was established in the early 2000, especially during the Bill Clinton administration, to make sure that around more than 25 African countries are able to trade with the United States without any tariffs, in order to make sure that these countries boost their economy, this country expand their economy. And this AGOA was extended in 2015 to this year 2025, and there are only few hours before the decision is made to say is AGOA is going to be extended, or is AGOA going to not to be extended, and how is this going to impact African countries? When you look at countries such as Kenya was already negotiating at some point, also begging to say, looking at the US to say, if you don't extend AGOA, we are going to lose around more than 66,000 jobs due to the link between our trades. And looking at the context of South Africa, with in possession of 30%, and just recently the Minister of International Relations from South Africa, Ronald Ramora, just came from the US when he went to speak with other diplomats, and also influence Congress too by speaking with the Black Caucus group to make sure that in terms of that bill which is proposed, South Africa is protected. But we see countries are looking at alternatives, and even when South Africa is negotiating, South Africa also made sure that you negotiate while you are trading, you negotiate while you are looking at the other way to say, what if, what is the possibility of impossible? What is the possibility when things don't go according to the plan? What is that I can do? That's why in August, South Africa has introduced a trade advisory board, which advises businesses to look at other options and also give them guidance to explore other markets. Now, let us look at Botswana. Botswana is a country in Southern Africa, which have a bit of stable democracy, which is comparison to Namibia. Botswana last year made history by adding the long term leadership of Botswana main ruling party and putting the man by the name Duma Boko, who when he came to power, he has different economic policies, especially he's known for his advocacy of increasing percentage of shares in the Beers Diamond Company to 50 and more. And the government is still negotiating, looking at the fact that when it's coming to the Beers, Anglo-Americans and the Beers, Botswana is contributing 70% of diamonds to that company, and they have less than 15%. That's why Duma Boko is putting that proposal on the table to say whatever it takes, these Anglo-American companies have to make sure that they share or they sell their stakes to the government of Botswana. And looking at who is going to buy those shares, does the government have money to buy those shares? Duma Boko indicated that their interest from Oman and other Arabian countries, and also to say what is the reason of owning resources which you cannot use, and also you cannot also prioritize. Looking at priorities, what are some of the key priorities of Duma Boko, especially the president of Botswana? You look at the main priorities: agriculture and also digitalization to transform the economy. And looking at the category of Botswana in terms of global ranking, although it was downgraded, it never left its group of upper middle income, which we have been together. It's Namibia, Botswana, and South Africa. But it's only us who, failed some modules and is coming to international ranking. And you find ourselves at lower middle income country, where Botswana is still at upper middle income country. And what is interesting about Botswana is known for the production of diamond. It's known for the production of diamond. And when you look at the 2024 global economic outlook. When you look at the 2024 global economic outlook, you may be able also to realize that one of the downgrade or the slowness in terms of economic development was caused by the change in the price of diamond. That's why you also be able to look to realize that Botswana as a country has also realized to say, let us add value to our resources and also let us find suitable markets. Now, especially with EMS program, I've received quite a lot of callers with different views, especially when it comes to the issue of global trade, to say, man, Namibia should just be like Botswana. Let us move to the east because the capitalist world is not on our side. And to put things into perspective, we must be very careful, especially when you are advising those who are making decisions. And you must be very careful
especially when we are thinking about making economic decisions, because even the economists who are in charge of making those decisions are finding it very difficult to make tough decisions. But at the end of the day, tough decisions must be made to say, you cannot say you must move away from the West and remain with the East. And you can also not say you must continue doing business as usual. One of the center of argument, especially to African countries, and which has been said, is the issue of diversification, is the issue of economic diversification, to say, let us look at economic diversification. Economic diversification will bring an end to dependency. When you have economic diversification, it means that when your trade, international trade balance is coming out, it's not predicted. It's not predicted. It depends on what is happening in the market, what is the demand at that season, and what can you put into that market. Because currently, as we are speaking, when we look at let's give an example of August international trade balance when it comes out, or September international trade balance when it's come out, you already know that in the top five products, you have uranium, fish, precious diamonds, and maybe copper. You already know that, but what you do not know, what you are not sure about, is at what price, at what percentage. But when you have economic diversification, it must be products competing to say this is a rainy season, or this is a good season for when people are buying clothes. Let Namibia supply clothes to the world. Or this is a good season where people are more focused on eating fruits. Let Namibia be the best exporter of grapes. And we see that at the top five exports, or even if it's not that way, let us look at products that are coming from grapes. What is that we can do? Let us look at products that are coming from agricultural products. So in this case, the aspect of shifting is debatable, because whether we love it or we do not love it, we cannot operate in isolation. That's why we can't be contradictory to say we are supporting multilateralism, at the same time we are siding with one world. Because remember, when you look at Namibia foreign policy, maybe I've been very clear about the policy of non-alignment. And when you look at what Namibia stated, is to say we are supporting multilateralism. That is a Namibia policy on international ground. And when you are going to do trade, you are standing at that umbrella to say you are supporting multilateralism, and you are also not aligning with anybody. That's why in our context, we are guided by that to say we are a friend of everybody and enemy to none, which is quite a bit significant when you look at where we are, particularly on the ground that we are a smaller country. And that is how we have been surviving. But if you are telling people that we must shift to the East alone, that is something that we need to relook at. Because it's quite not very clear to say how are the treatments in the East going to be. Because remember, you have East, West, then you have internal, then you have also continental. But is it better to only eat one cake, or to test all the cakes and also see which one is fit when and where? It's something that we need to debate about. It's something that we need to debate about, because it's not only us who are seeing what is happening around the world. Everybody is seeing what is happening around the world. Global tariffs are threatening international trade, especially to developing countries. Countries cannot stand on their own. You get Brazil, you get Lesotho with 50% imposition. You get the price of, garments. And you'll be able also to look at how Kenya is affected. You must be able to find other ways. Maybe what we need to think about and what we need to discuss is that what is that we can produce at home, at what quality, and we are selling it at what price. Maybe that is where we need to start on. What is that what we are producing at home? At what quality? And also at what price? Value addition and diversification of the economy. We spoke about that. But when you go to the village, when you go to my village where I come from, you will be able to see that the old traditional method that have been used is still operational. The old traditional method that have been used, the way products are being stored is still the same. And in fact, if you want to look at it, look at our homestead and look at our subsistence farmers. There is no calculation on how much you are investing in plowing of the land, how much you are getting out. There is no calculation in terms of that. There is only that, no, it's rainy season. We must make sure that we do it. It's a routine. So we are plowing and we are getting whatever we get from that, you know, field. Whether there is, you know, there is a fertile land or no fertile land. Our traditional way of doing things, just continue doing the same thing. Let us farm mahangu. This is what we do. You don't care whether you invested 2,000 in, you know, tending of the land, and you invested 1,000 in sowing, you invested 3,000 in cultivating, then you get the cultivation yield, which worth 1.5. People do not care about that. And that is exactly where we are losing, because we are failing to scale our economic output, and we are also failing to look at what other things that we can do to make sure that we don't depend much on external support. Because the moment we stand on our own, we'll be able to make decisions. Because right now, even if you are producing mahangu just for eating and you cannot export them, when people are in conversation, what are you going to speak about? Yeah, that's why the question of what can we do to make sure that we navigate this unpredictable world is quite a very critical question. And in a very short time, I'll be in a conversation with a trade analyst, just to look at that aspect, and also to see what can we do. Because having a different view is quite interesting, because this is how we learn to say what is that need to be done in order to make sure that when things are happening, when Botswana is getting very tired of the treatment, when Botswana decided to say, I'm moving to the east, I'm very tired, my people are going to suffer, they are going to suffer because of unemployment. The question is that, what is that which Namibia need to do to make sure that at least we move forward? Let us look at commercial break, then we can engage one of our analysts to look at what he has to say.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.R.
Lipura nenge leo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nwe udite okoye ekukulile Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo Ihoetike kovano hile koshuana Ononongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa Nune uto otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka Okone ushe ndife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu Oma felane Eagle FM The Eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment. As I indicated earlier, we'll be joined by one of the analysts, especially in the area of trade and also issues of policies. That is Mr. Andrew Hishitire. Mr. Andrew, good evening, and how are you doing?
Good evening, David, and good evening to the listeners.
Yes, just want your view, especially when you look at one of the main trading partners of the U.S., Botswana, looking at the east or
want to leverage the trading with China due to the pressure of tariffs. What is your opinion on this, and what can we learn from this as Namibia?
Yeah, it look like you Botswana is taking up the decision of putting up a middleman, because if you are talking about the Goba East,
yeah,
it's not really international recognizing of broken trade.
Yeah.
You see, Asia is connected with Japan,
yeah,
and South Korea and China,
yeah,
which is a major player on the global.
Yeah.
But to look at them,
yeah,
yeah, when we want into trading with all that we want in our country, most of the production that they are selling by Chinese are not really playing a major role, because those countries, they are good when you are in terms of manufacturer. They have, yeah, they have the ingredient, which is called compound, CPO and other stuff. But for the final product, yes, good for South Korea, Japan. Yes, they have been in there for quite long.
Yeah.
But the Chinese products are not really playing a major role here. But for the investment also, it's good for China, because they are pumping it up money.
Yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of the return, the benefit that they are getting from your table.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, geopolitics that is driving Botswana, if you look at what they putting on the table in the UNGA,
yeah,
which is a General Assembly of UN,
yeah,
so they didn't talk much about it, but they indicated that since the diamond is no more playing a big role in the market,
yeah,
so they lose a lot,
yeah,
which is about 50% of their GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Is going down because of that. Now they are looking for countries that they can invest in more,
mm-hmm,
with what they have.
Mm.
That is, yeah, that is not much into taking up, because if you are driven by geopolitics, which is making Africa a vulnerable continent, is that we look at the term of the politics. We are not looking at the term of the economy, secular, I mean, participation.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people that are trading with us and yeah, benefited in our country? So those are the.
Mm-hmm. So you are saying we are focused more on politics, not on trade.
Not on the trade, yeah.
Yes, but let us look at I've been giving an example of South Africa for quite some time to say South Africa have also been trying to negotiate with the US, but things are still not changing. Just yesterday, Ronald Dramura came from New York to speak regarding the negotiation ongoing, but they are also looking at alternatives. What do you think is the best way for African countries, especially those which are impacted by these tariffs? Is it fine to look at the East, or is it fine to look at African continental free trade area, or we need to look at internal to put value to our products? Which one is the right way, especially when you want to save jobs?
Yes, if you want to, as I said, if you look at in Asia,
yeah,
those global north manufacturer companies, they are stealing the global south,
yeah,
which is those countries of East Europe, Asia, and Southeast Asia, which is India, Bangladesh, Vietnam, and others.
Yeah.
So they are also a part of the manufacturer because of their cheap labor.
Yeah.
And to look at what South Africa do, as I said, most of the companies that are in South Africa,
yeah,
they are from the global north.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the tariff affected them because of the pressure that they have,
mm-hmm,
from,
mm-hmm,
origin of the companies.
Mm.
So it's not that the tariff is protected. It's wanted those companies back to their origin, to their country.
Oh, okay, just hold on, eh? Just hold on. We're going to a commercial break, eh?
Shh.
Shipping cash, here's what you can get for less than 20 Namibian dollars at USAID. 750 milliliters Polygrip dishwashing liquid, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 200 grams Champion liver spread, 19.99 Namibian dollars. 100 milliliters Aquafresh toothpaste, 19.99 Namibian dollars. And a packet of Tiffany cream biscuits for just 6.99 Namibian dollars. You save your low budget grocery store with good food, cost less.
Yes, let's continue.
Yeah, if you look at those companies that are trading with the U.S.,
yeah,
South Africa,
yeah,
yeah, most of those companies are originally from Europe.
Yeah,
and what the Americans want?
Yeah,
they want those companies, since they are partnered with their companies. They want them to put in the manufacturer in those countries in America,
mm-hmm,
where they can benefit more for works and the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now, yeah.
Now, what do you think? Do you think Namibia has a capacity to start manufacturing? Are we late, or we are still at the talking stage?
No, we are still in good picture, because Namibia is not standing on its own.
Yeah.
So the opportunity is still there. If you look at what these guys want, the Silana Group, wanting to set up in Namibia, it is still a good picture, because the service that you are getting in Namibia is not from the Namibians. Yeah, it's from those South African companies, from European companies, and all of that. So for you to starting up a manufacturer, you still have an opportunity to make business with the Angola, Zimbabwe, I mean, Zambia, and even a part of Botswana also.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make more customers.
Uh-huh.
So that is a good move when Namibia is injected in this to look at the manufacturer, mm-hmm, and processing. Go. Yeah, it can work for us.
Okay, now maybe the last question before I let you go is, I also want to get it very clear that apart from because when I look at Namibian trade policy, I also guided by our foreign policy and principles to say we are friend with everybody and we are enemy to none. In a situation where South Africa is punished so much to that extent that their economy cripple, what is the best way for us to interact with the U.S. because our problems are not bigger than the problems that U.S. have with South Africa, especially when it comes to trade. What do you think is the best way, best approach to deal with U.S., especially when it's coming to trade and also other assistance?
Yeah, as I said, Africa is driven by politics, which is Namibia try to avoid and be friendly on the global trade participation,
mm-hmm,
which is we have some of these products that are recognized by the world, like uranium, gold, which is Canada, and Australia is also one of them. It can come also to do business with us, and our BIFA is also doing good.
Yeah.
In terms of the middle class in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the Japanese are also part of us. So it's not that Namibia can be just accommodate anybody because of the geopolitics that we don't want to jeopardize. But yeah, does those Americans company American government are supporting us in terms of the funding or in terms of the bailout? Yeah, those are the things that we need to look at. What are we benefited from America in terms of the trading that we have? As I mentioning that Americans, they are not in your minerals trade. They are just there for those business, which is indirectly benefited from South Africa.
Yes.
So for that is where the problem we have with the America. If you are addressing this issue of saying, you are punishing us because of South Africa, that most of the partners that we are having or joint ventures that we are having in our country, they are South African. So those are the things that we need to be putting on the table so that the Namibian can striking up or disconnected himself from South Africa and getting a new partner. As we were asking about the manufacturer and all of that. Which is now, if you look at Rana, as I said, Rana will be one of the best Namibian that can saving more, maybe kicking up the South African retail, food might end up become cheaper because of them. And they might end up also buying our product, our farmer production, which is can also be a good move for job creation and all of that.
Yes, Mr. Andreas Ishitire, thank you for your time and also thank you for your input.
Yeah, thank you very much, David.
Yes, that is Mr. Andreas Ishitire. We are looking at what is that we need to do? Do we need to move to the east, to the west, inside, or at the continent? We are at a very critical juncture. We are at a very critical juncture because remember, as I have indicated earlier on, no matter the situation on in the global arena, we still have priorities on the table. We still have priorities on the table, and it's a wish of everybody to say that these priorities must be realized, because when you look at the way we are still fighting economic inequality, we are still fighting unemployment, we are still fighting the issues of energy, we are still fighting the issues of policy coherence, and we are fighting a lot of economic and human developmental battles. Now, that's why I've been saying issues such as what's happening with in Etosha is uninvited and should not distract Namibians from prioritization of national priorities, and should also not be a reason for failing in terms of achieving what you want. Whatever money will be spent in that should not be a reason for failing, because it has been always the case to say there is always the unforeseen circumstances. That's why we are asking those questions to say, when countries are moving this way, what do we need to do best? What is that Namibia can do best to make sure that we do trade properly, and we don't just trade for the sake of trade, but we trade on quality, and we put our money where the value is, and also we expand the economy for the benefit of everyone. You know, I was when I was looking at today's presentation by Namfisa, then you look at what non-banking financial institutions are owning. You realize to say the banking sector is nothing. The money is at non-banking financial institutions, because statistics are indicating that these are the institutions which are controlling over 70% of financial asset in the country. And you'll be able to realize that the investment within non-banking financial institution is still expanding. Here is where you have your retirement benefits. Here is where you have your short and long-term insurance companies, insurance brokers. Here is also where you have micro lenders, which are at a very small portion, which are actually at a very small portion. Then the question which I'm asking myself is that, man, when you have expansion in terms of non-banking financial institution, in terms of their financial assets, what does this mean to an ordinary Namibian? How can an ordinary Namibian benefit from this? And the answers are not very clear. The answers are not very clear. It's just to say, in case of institutions such as retirement funds, these are some of the money that can also be used to, to be invested in expanding of infrastructure and building of infrastructure. But it's not really clear direct benefit from this, assets, except the portion of, micro lenders, which is quite not well regulated.
which is quite still giving troubles to the regulatory authority. And just also to see, to say, it's quite a hard time. It's quite a hard time, especially to those who spend more time in economic analysis. It's quite a very hard time. And it's also require a policymaker who does not only looking at the political party, but a policymaker who look at the data, a policymaker who also listen, because at the end of the day, if you do not listen, because the situation that we are in now is not about political legacy or it's about political ideology, it's whether the bread is coming or the bread is not coming. And whether the bread is coming, when is it coming? Do we have tangible evidence that the plate will bring that bread? And how are we going to move forward? Because the world becomes so unpredictable. Geopolitics is intensifying. Look at every head of institution, either is the head of BRICS Bank, either is Central African Development Bank, whether it's the head of World Bank, IMF, Secretary General of UN, WTO, AU, EU, G7 or G20. The first point of departure is global tariffs. When they are starting with their speeches, you may say I'm lying. The first point of departure is global tariffs. It's unpredictable economic outlook. And it's also the future of developing world. Then the question also that we also need to ask, and we should continue asking, is that what have we done on our own rather than looking outside? What have we done on our own? Just very simple things to say. What have we done to make sure that at least we can counter some of the challenges, especially basic challenges such as even veld fire in Etosha? Those are things that we could handle ourselves. So those are questions we should continue asking, and also we should also learn from others, because with Botswana shifting its trading routes to the east, that also means that we are also going to be impacted negatively, because if you are shifting to the east, even the trade route would also shift. Maybe they are going to use a Mozambique, trade route. The utilization of our trade ports, or maybe our seaports, will also change. And also what we get from these trade agreements will also change, because world is changing. Then the question we're asking ourselves is to say, in terms of where we want to get, in terms of what we are always talking about, which needs to be practically implemented, especially economic diversification, what is the progress? What is the progress? Because analysts have been talking about, it's too early to judge 100 days in the office, but where are we in terms of the progress? Where are we in terms of strengthening governance institutions? And where are we in terms of our investment in research and development, and also active participation of young people? So we have around 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation. However, you can still communicate with us to give your opinions and views at 083-288-401. You are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are speaking more on trade relations, particularly on the lesson that Namibia need to learn from Botswana, and also what is our trade policy saying, what is our foreign policy saying, especially regarding the unpredictable world with global geopolitical tensions, which is influenced by war, and also tariffs imposition of tariffs, especially to the developing world, and also how can we think about navigating this unpredictable world. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly with Mtuma program. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly, and to take you through, especially when it comes to Umtuma, and have a blessed evening and take care of yourself, and yeah, see you next time, same time, same place, and bye bye for now.